August Beg Falter Road Arash could the on come and see inspirations podcast here on. My name is Shane Ambrose, delighted to have you back on what is of course this special feast day for us. It is the feast day of Saint Patrick. And here on Come and See Inspiration, we have been blessed over the years to have had a number of people come on to share with us different reflections about St. Patrick. And one of our favourites, which we are going to share again this year, is a reflection that we originally broadcast in March 2012 with Father Michal Liston. Now, for those of you that don't know, Father Michal is one of our characters here in the Diocese of Limerick. He's a great, great Gaelgeor, which means he's a native Irish speaker, very much involved with the promotion of the Irish language. More generally, but also within a liturgical context. And over the years has been involved in many, many things, including his great with youth ministry, his great devotion to Our Lady of Lourdes, and so on and so forth. Now, Michal is retired at this stage, but a great man at the same time. But we had a reflection with him in 2012, and which we're going to dig out of the archive again and share with you this morning. Father Michal leads us through a short reflection considering what he calls this extraordinary man, Patrick, who couldn't stay silent because of all that God had done for him in his mercy. And that's a quote directly from the Confessio. And many of us know the story of Patrick. We kind of went through it briefly in part one. But this is something, I suppose, just for us to listen on and reflect on. And I suppose just for us to be aware of that during times of disappointment and rupture in our lives, it provides us with an opportunity to enable us to listen again to the still voice of God in our hearts. And for Irish people in particular, following the example of St. Patrick, who was convinced that God had spoken to him, that great expression, he heard the voice of the Irish, allowing room for communication to happen. And very much, of course, in theme, of course, at the moment, with the discussions of synod and synodality and conversations in the spirit and discerning and all that kind of thing, which the Pope is reminding us about. Patrick calls us again to listen to the foundation of our lives, which should be the word of God, which is still calling to us, each and every one of us, asking us to respond in our heart. So here's this lovely reflection from Father Michal Liston.
Thank you for joining us. Would you give us your own thoughts around St. Patrick, please?
Well, I'd be delighted to share. For me, St. Patrick is an extraordinary man. And we are very lucky to have some writings of his own hand and his own mind. And I love the way he says very early on in his writing, I cannot stay silent because of all that God has done for me in his mercy. And his whole pours out then a hymn of gratitude to God. It is extraordinary joy. And then very early on he begins in the opening words of his letter, I, Patrick, a sinner, unlettered, the least of all the faithful. And that sober note. And then he goes on and he, I suppose, a very modern picture of a young man. I was then about 16 years old. I did not know the true God. And for this reason, I was led in captivity to Ireland with so many thousands of people. That sense he had that he didn't really know the living God, and he turned away from the teaching of the Christian community. And then his extraordinary account of the captivity, the suffering, the isolation in a strange land. But then the instinct in him, or the impulse of grace in him, that turned him to prayer. And in prayer, he was reborn. And it is an extraordinary account of grace, account of a person feeling that his own life is being changed, transformed, being saved. And then, of course, the story goes on. We all know how he escaped home, and then how later on he had the voice of the Irish, come, O holy youth, and walk once more among us. And then that extraordinary story of how he comes back and how the gospel was preached in Ireland, not with the empire, not with the soldiers, but with this human being coming on his own with the grace of God. It's an extraordinary story. And then, of course, there was the isolation and loneliness. And now he did have, obviously, learned a lot of the language during his years of captivity. But still, he didn't feel he was learned in that culture. But he
He had this extraordinary sense of that God's grace has not been idle, has not been in vain in me. That so maybe that's the first note I would strike about Patrick. He's a human being who had this great sense of gratitude to God and the joy for how God had loved him.
Mm, that's a wonderful gift to have too, isn't it?
Yes, and in the middle of what you might maybe not very idyllic situations, but in the middle of all the messing and the captivity, the abuse, that his heart could burst with gratitude to God. That is extraordinary. And I suppose then, a second note that I love about St. Patrick's writing, he has this great sense of what has happened, what God has done through him. He has says here, because I am exceedingly in debt to God, who granted me so great a grace that through me a whole people should be reborn in God, and afterwards confirmed, and that clerics should be everywhere be ordained for them. That if for a people newly come to believe, whom the Lord took from the utmost parts of the earth, as long ago he had admonished to his prophets. That this extraordinary sense of, that he felt physically, he had seen the grace of God in the lives of human beings, changing them, transforming them, bringing a whole new, I suppose, part of the body of Christ, of God's people to life. And he had, he says at one stage, as I have seen written, so I have seen happen. Extraordinary sense of the power of the grace of God in the lives of people.
Yeah, that was a lovely even phrase you used there, the grace of God. He saw the grace of God in others.
Yes, and changing their lives and building them up. And he knew that he had himself given his whole life in exile, but at the same time, he had an extraordinary sense that everything was God's gift. That his last line of his letter is, but rather, what's the name of it here? And now, to all who believe and hold God in reverence, should one of them condescend to inspect and accept this writing, put together in Ireland by Patrick, a mere unlettered sinner, this is my prayer. That if I have accomplished or brought to light any small part of God's purpose, no one shall ever assert that the credit is due to my own uneducated self, but regard it rather as a true fact to be firmly believed that it was all the gift of God.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
And that is my confession before I die.
Yeah, very good. All the gift of God. Isn't that beautiful?
It's a whole conviction as to what human life is about and what human life can become. And that other, I suppose, a huge sense, I think, that we in Ireland today need to, I think, when we are now maybe in some ways in our own captivity, our own disappointment, our own humiliation, it is terribly important, I think, that we reflect in a deep way that we wouldn't let all this disappointment go for waste. But it would maybe help us, like St. Patrick, to listen again to the still voice of God in our hearts. And that we would open our hearts to what God is saying to us. And St. Patrick had an extraordinary sense that he was personally spoken to by God.
Yeah, wonderful.
That God addressed him personally. Now, I think there's a basic Christian idea there that each one of us, whether we're minding pigs on a mountain or whether we're at home or driving a car or whether we're sick or whatever, the Lord Jesus has a personal word for your heart today and always.
How wonderful to hear.
And I think it's terribly important that we would have that sense of God wanting, and our present Pope is really good on this. God wants to have a personal conversation with each one of us.
That's lovely. That's one of the lessons, so we can really take from Patrick there, you know.
Oh, yes. That personal conversation.
Yeah.
That the Father sent Jesus to have a chat with us. Open up our hearts and give us a new sense of our own dignity, I think that's one of the basics that every, in so often today, we judge ourselves in all kinds of other ways, other measuring rods, success or money or health or good looks or celebrity, whereas St. Patrick had a sense of Christ with me, Christ before me, Christium. And each one of us are asked to recognize that Christ is with me. He's before me, he's behind me, he listens to me. And that is a vision of what a human being is, a friend of Jesus.
And I'm sure maybe if St. Patrick was here walking the streets of West Limerick today, he'd be saying the same thing, Christ before me.
Yes, and in one sense, he had a sense that he has no other support. He has no other security.
Mm-hmm.
He hasn't it in an army or in protection or in celebrity or in money or whatever, but that was his support. And I think if we are to lay a firm foundation for a new beginning in Ireland, I think the word of Patrick, Christ's word that Patrick wants us to listen to, that's the foundation.
And it's a wonderful tradition that we have in this country to be able to remember a patron saint this particular day and this weekend. And as you just said, maybe pick up some of the lessons that Patrick has that are still coming through to us. And that one there, listen to God, listen to the voice of God speaking to each one of us.
Now, there is another, if you've heard maybe another 1,000 things I could say about, but we think of all our own family and friends and neighbours who are in other countries, and we give thanks for what they, in their exile, have brought to so many countries of the world, so many people, and we thank God where they have found grace and help and humanity in other countries. But I think we have a special call to today, in the St. Patrick's Day, to be aware of other people who have come among us from other countries.
Mm-hmm.
And like Patrick had been captured, had been, if like trafficked and abused and violence, we must respect everybody who is among us, their dignity, and maybe if they're rejected by society, by others, God wants us to look on them with reverence.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is something we owe to Patrick, our patron.
Beautiful. And as you know, on this program, we do have a podcast, and it does come out worldwide, and there's people listening to this program, I know myself, from various parts of the world. So if you wanted to say something, Father, to any of those people who might be listening in to this reflection that you have about St. Patrick, is there anything special you'd like to say to them?
Well, I suppose I would wish them well, wish them good heart, and I suppose I would love if they could just quietly think of Patrick, a young man in exile in a mountain minding pigs, and he having a choice to pray or not to pray, to turn to God or not to bother. Maybe think of Patrick and what he found in the tender kindness of the heart of our God. Maybe there is something there that the Lord, with his tender kindness, has a heart for you too.
And for those of us who are still in Ireland today, we've got something to learn from Patrick, as you said early on.
Yes, and I suppose the thing I would... Maybe the word is depth or listening. Now, in one sense, God forgive me for saying, Patrick was lucky. He didn't have any distractions at all. He was on his own in the hills.
Mm.
But maybe we must find some place in our lives for silence, for our own hearts, that we would listen to our own hearts, I think, and give our hearts, get that silence out of which the word comes. But we must have mercy on ourselves and find silence for our own hearts and listen to our own hearts.
And that sense of hope too, that you know, that Patrick had, and I mean, Patrick was going through trying times, as you said, when he was living in Ireland. Those people who are going through trying times at this particular moment obviously have something to pick up from Patrick too, I'd say.
Well, above. I'm not supposed that we'll all, or any that many of us will reach that excitement of Patrick about what God has done in his life. But that beautiful line, what he has done for others, he can do for you. That tender kindness of God that has nothing to do with our achievements or even how good we are. It is just grace. It is just affection. It is just our Father who has a heart for us. And we allow ourselves to be gathered by the gentle whisper of God's grace.
And Father, as you know, I'm not very good now. In fact, I'm useless at speaking in Irish, but maybe you'd like to say a few words there in the native tongue around St. Patrick?
Well, I suppose one image that as a Limerick man and a parish or a pastor of a lot, Patrick's well, Tubber Fádraig, and the well that Patrick brought us, is a well of grace, a well of faith, of hope, of love. Tubber Fádraig, the well that never runs dry. And that we can come there and find what he found, God's mercy, God's word, and the power that the Spirit that gives us life. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the three. God is the interpersonal God, the family life of God, that we are invited into, to sit down at that fireside with the three persons of God. That is the invitation that always comes to us from Patrick, and that there's a well there of new life, Tubber Fádraig, for all of us.
And I suppose, as you mentioned wells there, Father, holy wells, I'm sure even those people abroad would remember many of the time being taken, and maybe to this day it's still doing the rounds at the well where St. Patrick was supposed to have visited.
Yes, and all that tradition of in the ordinary things, when we step aside from the routine and we just pause and we just there have a sense that the grace of God is that close to us.
Lovely. Any final word now you'd like to say to us, Father, now as we leave this St. Patrick's weekend reflection here?
Just great that we are alive, but I would hope that, I find it extraordinary that Irish people, I think we can be good at holding on to our hearts. Polishing up our chips.
Yeah, we're very good at that.
But Patrick, in some way, had another grace, that he didn't allow the abuse, the hurt that was done to him, block his life. But in some way he received a grace from God to grow even out of all the wounds. And may our wounds may be wells of growth in us.
Beautiful. And maybe just as you leave us there, Father, you might just give us a word of blessing maybe in Irish, please.
We have that lovely salutation, Dies Miriguit, and the answer Dies Miriguit is Fádraig, but I would like to pray all that blessing of the Trinity, of the Shamrock, that rich, warm, tender life that our God sent his Son among us to gather us all in to share that, and with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, with all the nations of the earth, good John and your forever and ever.
Amen.
Thank you.
God bless you, Father.
Right.
Bye-bye now.
Bye.
And now we can listen to How Glorious St. Patrick, sung by Frank Pattison, accompanied by the Irish Philharmonic Orchestra.
Above on Aaron's green valley. people now exiles on many a shore shall love and revere thee till time be no more, and the fire thou hast kindled shall ever burn bright, its warmth undiminished, undying its light. Land of our birth, where the shamrock still blooms as when the